Well, good morning, everyone. Some of you seem an awful long way off back there. However, it's good to be here, and we're going to look at what it's like to be a disciple and what that means to each one of us. And the first thing I want to do is to tell you a story. And it's a story that I heard from Francois Nierkerk, who's a pastor in South Africa. And he was telling about this youth leader who was his own youth leader when he was much younger. And his name was Noel. Now, Noel wasn't very cool. Noel had flared trousers, which were short, and they needed introduction to his shoes. They were so short. And he got bad breath when you got close up to him, apparently. And he had this old car that everybody in the neighbourhood knew was his. So this was Noel, the youth leader. And as part of his leading of that young group of people, he asked them to read St. John's Gospel. And he decided that he would follow up to see how they were getting on. So he did no more than knock on Francois's door. Now, once the car was parked outside, Francois realised that all the kids in the neighbourhood would know that Noel was coming to his house and might think that they were friends. And he didn't want the kids on the neighbourhood to think that he was a friend of Noel, who really wasn't very cool. So he asked his mum, and he said, "Go and tell him I'm not in." And his mum said, "No, you go and tell him." And he had to invite Noel in. And Noel asked him just one question. "Francois, have you read St. John's Gospel yet?" And he hadn't. So Noel left, and he did this twice more. After the third time, Francois hadn't read St. John's Gospel, but to get rid of Noel, he decided he'd read St. John's Gospel. No more visits. And what happened to him when he read St. John's Gospel was that God landed in his heart a love of Jesus and a love of the Bible that has never left him. He never told Noel what had happened, and Noel left the area, and he just has never been able to find him. But he would love to say, "Noel, thank you for making me accountable." And I tell you this because here's the thing, that as we follow Jesus, we're accountable to God and we're accountable to each other. And that's part of being a family of Christians, a family of God, who are endeavouring to live out our faith in the community in which we live. And it's that accountability that helps each one of us grow in our faith. Sometimes I think we forget that we have been given this great gift of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of Jesus, which lives within us. And I believe that sometimes he's put on the back burner, and somehow we are cut loose and we find that we're drifting in the Christian life. It happens to all of us at times. So this is the morning when we're going to remember the gift of the Holy Spirit. And last week, Rachel urged us to stir up the gift of faith within us. And she talked about doing this intentionally, because it just doesn't happen. It requires effort, and it requires that we rely completely on the grace of God. And this week, I'm going to urge you to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit in you, so that we would see through the eyes of faith the power of God at work in us. And we shall be reminded that God wants to release the power of his love within us, so that we will change the atmosphere of the environment we live in to become one of love, hope, kindness, thankfulness, compassion, all those kingdom values, all those things that God longs for us to live in. When we heard the section of reading from Paul's letter to Timothy, he was telling Timothy, don't forget to stir up the gift that is in you. He wrote, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I have to ask each one of you, when was the last time that you asked God to pour in his Holy Spirit once again into your life, that you might be fulfilled again? We need a daily filling of God's Holy Spirit. We need to walk so closely with God that we're reminded of that gift that is at work within us. And we need reminders that, you know, once again, of who we are in Jesus. We need reminding of all that he can do through us when we allow the Holy Spirit freedom in our lives. Jesus said that we would do even greater things than he. And I've been reading and reminding myself again about the revivals of the past. And Smith Wigglesworth, who experienced a powerful time of revival during his ministry, had this to say. We have access to mantles that no one yet has picked up. Such is the mystery of God, this wonderful God we follow. And we forget when he so easily becomes a Ripley God, that he's the God of the universe. I would urge us this morning not to settle for less than God has planned for us. We've been given in the Holy Spirit all that we need to carry out God's call on each of our lives, and that will be different, but we shall be equipped. And what is this call? Well, I'm going to remind you again that Archbishop Justin Welby had this to say about evangelism today. I want to start by saying just two simple sentences about the church. First, the church exists to worship God in Christ Jesus. Second, the church exists to make new disciples of Jesus Christ. Everything else is decoration. Some of it may be very necessary, useful, wonderful decoration, but it's decoration. He also said, when I talk about making disciples, of course, I'm not only talking about words, but I'm also talking about actions. And the call on each of us is here in Matthew's text this morning. Jesus had discipled the 12 well, and then he was sending them out to do what he did. And that's what the disciples of Jesus do. To be his disciples means that we spend time in God's presence. We listen. We read his word and we pray. And then we're sent out to share the good news of the kingdom. We're all called to make a difference through our words and our actions as we catch the vision. And sometimes we need to return and read in the Bible those things that are really so important for each one of us, that vision of God's kingdom, to go to the poor, go to the broken, to go to those who are lost, those who have no voice, and to seek after justice for those who need it. God calls us to be disciples who live intentionally as followers of Jesus. Not in a forgetful way, not Mondays, not Sundays, and maybe not the rest of the week. God is looking for people who he can trust with his power. When Jesus looked at the crowds, I love this reading from the Message, because it says that his heart broke. so confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples, and how few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. In the NIV it says, ask the Lord to send out the workers. And that's us. That's you and me. Every single one of us. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to see an increase in the kingdom of God in this town, across this diocese. Is that what you would like to see?
Yes.
Yes. Many coming to know Jesus. It's a vision that gets me up in the morning, of people coming to faith in Jesus. It is the most wonderful thing when you are with someone who meets Jesus in their lives, invites him in for the very first time. It is such a privilege, such a joy. And we are called to join in with God and battle for the souls of those who are lost to God. Now, perhaps we've forgotten that the kingdom of darkness is daily stealing the hopes and dreams and souls of humanity. And a reminder like this, it wakes me up to that great commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus sent out his followers to go and make disciples of all people. And it's a time for us in Ripley to send out workers into the harvest field. And God will go ahead of us and he will prepare the way. It is his greatest joy. We read in the gospel reading in Matthew that Jesus sent the 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by travelling to some far-off place to convert believers, and don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. What he's saying is, just do the small things first, the things you can do with me. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighbourhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick, raise the dead, touch the untouchables, kick out demons. You have been treated generously. So live generously. And I love this reminder. Don't even think about starting a fundraising campaign. Because we don't need one. We are all Jesus needs to do that work. To extend the kingdom. So what are we to make of this passage for us in All Saints here today? What's God saying to us as we read about sending out the 12 and the instructions given to them? First of all, Jesus calls us to be his disciples first, because without him we can do nothing. He calls us to stay close, and then he sends us out and he goes with us. And I want to look at the sending first of all. Jesus sent his disciples to the lost, and it's our commission too. And for years as an evangelist, I thought that it meant taking the gospel to everyone, telling everyone about Jesus. And I must admit, I was a bit of a pain when I first came to know Jesus. I must have been. But I think very differently now. Because people come to know Jesus through personal relationships. And I want to focus on the seekers of the kingdom, the ones who want to listen. They're always there. The few people in the crowd who came to Jesus to find out more. When the crowds gathered to listen to Jesus, after a while, many of them just lost interest. But a few, the seekers, stayed around to ask questions. Some even came at night, like Nicodemus. And we know that Jesus warned in chapter 7:13. That the truly big search would be for the things of this world, not the things of the kingdom. And in his book, called It's a History of Britain Since the War, Andrew Marr described our age as this, a head-on victory of shopping over politics, of the defeat of visions and rival idealisms of a new Jerusalem or a second Elizabethan age, by a culture of consumerism, celebrity and self-gratification. It's not difficult to see that that's pretty well nailed it. But there's always the significant minority too. There are always the seekers. So how do we know who they are in any place that we find ourselves? Well, we just ask them. People are rediscovering the invitation to table fellowship as a means of connecting with people who are on the edge, who are wanting to know about God, don't know how to start, don't know what questions to ask, but have some sense within them that they do want to know about the Christian faith. Like the New Alpha, which has been redone and it's really doing really well. It needed redoing, and it has been, and it's got a different look to it, and it's a place where we can invite people to come and eat with us, listen for a while, ask any questions you like. This is the place. And many are still coming to faith. It's all about invitation. You've been given this morning a whole list of what is going on in this church during November and December. Some of what's in there is because of our gathering as a church together when we were beginning to look at what we as a church felt God was calling us to. And there are lots of things you could invite people to. But also, it's about being a Christian the other 6 days of the week and building relationships so that you can, in the right time and the right place, invite people to come and see. So how do we actually find the seekers to invite? It's always through personal relationships, just as Jesus did. He's our role model. If we look at the scriptures, it's always through that one-to-one relationship with people as he spoke to them and he worked with small groups. So where's our crowd? Where is our own Galilee, so to speak? Well, the answer is we're right in the middle of it, and there are seekers in our community waiting for an invitation to come and see. The crowd are all the people we think of as our parish, our neighbours, our friends, the people we see at the school gate, the people we see at work, the people we see in the shops, people who come to the events here for the baptisms, the weddings, the funerals, or our relationships outside of church when we're scattered during the week. In our own crowd, there are always a few seekers. We need to find out who they are, spend time with them. So how do we set about reaching out to them? By being intentional about our relationships that will help us to discover the ones that are really, really interested in God. We need to ask God, first of all, spend time in prayer and ask him to stir up within us the Holy Spirit, that we would be given a fresh passion for the lost, a love for people, and a concern for them, that they too will find faith. They too will meet with Jesus. We just have to ask God and then go for it. It is not difficult. Let's not buy into the lie that this is just for certain people. God calls every single one of us to share what you know about him. And you know much more than you think. When we make decisions to go, it is God's greatest pleasure to go with us, and he will equip us. When we're obedient to this call, God releases in our hearts the power of the Holy Spirit, who will equip us for the task. And the first thing that happens is that, you know, I know this will happen, But you will want to spend more time with God, because we can't do this on our own. It's Jesus who changes lives. We just invite people to come and see. We open the door to heaven so that people can step in. And it's about this time that your life in Jesus gets really interesting again. So if it's been very quiet, once you step into this whole seeking out those who you really, really long for to know Jesus, then it's at this moment that things get interesting, because when we attempt anything for God, to work in his kingdom, we begin to expect great things for God as we pray for those people to come to know Jesus. God will land in our hearts names of people he has already prepared, who are already seeking, who are already thirsty. But he needs us to invite them in. He needs us to build that bridge with them. When you've prayed for someone, you may well find the next day that God positions that person in front of you unexpectedly. It's such fun being with God on this journey. But he has the power to do these things in answer to prayer. Yes, it's to encourage us. Yes, we panic. But actually, when we find that those people are in front of us, unexpectedly, these are the moments when we would pray the most ancient of prayers. Because we need a simple one. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And he will come. He will equip us. And we shall be blessed. And so will the people we speak to. There are lots of ways into conversations. Do you believe in God? Do you have a faith? That's a good one. Have you ever been to church? What do you think about God? And you're in. The conversation starts rolling and it just runs from there. And if you ask people to come to something, to come to an event or invite them into an Alpha course, if you get no for an answer, don't be discouraged, because actually it's a yes for God. Because now those people, you've made a connection with, they know that you're interested in them. The world isn't interested in people anymore. It's too busy. And when people realise that you care enough to ask them, they might not come this time, but they might come next time. And research tells us that it takes 7 askings to get people to come to some events. So it's worth, you know, just don't be discouraged. A lot of our time will be like Abraham. We'll be tending the sheep, spending time with people and growing those friendships. And a love will begin to grow. It's the love of Jesus within us. And there will be healings on the way. There will be changed lives, and we shall see the kingdom grow as we ask God to help us to seek out the seekers of faith. And as we go, we just need to remember that we're called to be world changers, kingdom carriers, and that God goes ahead of us and with us. And we shall develop our own ministry. It won't be like mine. It won't be like somebody sitting next door to you. For people, you know, that God will equip us for the people we meet. And you'll find that it's much easier than you think. And the more you speak, the easier it becomes. There's no blueprint for this. Just the call of God to share what you know about him, that others would receive Jesus as Saviour. We've got a call. Rachel was talking about being courageous for God. The Holy Spirit will give to us the courage we need and stir up the faith within us to trust God when we step out for him. And we're going to sing now in response to this. It's a song that, you know, it's an old song, William Booth, Sally Army. We can't do any of this on our own, and God knows it. He sends us out in twos or threes, but we are anointed by his Spirit to go. And this song is an asking for the Holy Spirit to come. Kevin's going to sing the first verse, and then we're going to sing the first verse again and sing the song. It needs all of you to sing. I give you permission, if you can't sing, to sing. I can't sing very well, but the song is an asking song of come, Holy Spirit, that others might be blessed through us.
Oh, God of mercy, cleanse me, send fire.